the very professorial and prolific writer on all things about the unrest in the Midwest, everything with Bo Schembechler to Jim Mad Dog Nanich. We welcome to the show the great author John U. Bacon joins us here on the program.
Michigan is 1-2, and if there are any signs for recovery, I'm not seeing them right now. So it's going to be, I think, a very ugly fall/winter in Ann Arbor.
Are they having any kind of ban on even khaki slacks in the area? Are you allowed to wear
khaki slacks? Hey, whoa. There? That's half the economy up here, dude. We can't even joke about that.
We found this gentleman to be fascinating, Josh Booty, who, of course, many of you remember from his stint with the then Florida Marlins, now Miami Marlins, and, of course, went on to great fame as an LSU quarterback and was a big sports figure here in town for many, many years. Josh Booty joins us here on the show. All right, so you come off the field after just a particularly hideous, you realize as soon as you let it go, this is going to be one ugly pick. What's it like as you're crossing the sideline to see, and you could probably see that face almost sense it from a mile away as you come to a esteemed Nick Saban. What is that experience like, Josh Booty?
I think I've still got some of his spit hanging, from my face. <Yeah. laughs>
We welcome to the show the great Len Robbins to the program. Len, how are you, my friend?
I'm doing well. How are you guys?
Fantastic.
Doing all right. Did they ever have pro wrestling at your Jewish center or temple? Pro wrestling. Did they ever stage any pro wrestling to raise funds?
Do you have any, family video of this congregation?
I think my rich Uncle Harry was really pretty much the financial support behind it. But they tried a lot of things to raise money, including they had top-notch pro wrestling. Wild Red Berry, the Kangaroos, Anthony Naraka. This was good stuff. This was solid Vince McMahon Sr. So, they tried a lot of things. All right, apparently that didn't happen at your place of worship.
That's very politically correct, right? To have, Chief J. Strongbow and George the Animal Steel.
Eating the turnbuckle like it was a piece of sponge cake in the back there of Tipton Manischewitz.
The time!
Wake up with Defoe, joined by Luby. Welcome to The Defoe Show.
On a breezy Thursday here in South Florida. Good morning, everybody. Great to be with you. I'm feeling kind of breezy today. Jeff DeForest, Mike Luby Lubitz, a very upset and confused Mike Luby Lubitz as we join you on the day after the NBA draft. See, I think this kid's a real steal, and I had to get out the pronunciation guide right away, but it turns out it's a very simple pronunciation. Precious Achiuwa. Achiuwa. Didn't take any kind of trick determination to figure out how to pronounce the guy's name. It's not like Tagovailoa, which is spelt nothing like Tagovailoa, but turns out to be Tagovailoa nonetheless, as told to us by Lee Steinberg. Remember that? I still didn't want to call him Tagovailoa, even after Steinberg corrected us on Radio Row. How are you this morning, one Mike Luby Lubitz? Are you still dazed and confused by the proceedings last night in the NBA draft?
I only watched till pick 11. So I at that point, it was everyone I had heard of somewhat. I just didn't hear of a lot of the other guys. That's the only problem with this draft is I don't know if it's good or bad. It's just a lot of guys, because there was no tournament, I had never really heard of.
Yes, and Scoop Skolnick is going to be our instant replay today on the show yesterday. Brilliant stuff by Scoop Skolnick, by the way, where he rattled off more names in conjunction with trades that happened 20 years ago. It was just incredible, his total recall of every detail of NBA basketball. Great stuff. And good insight also into the Miami Heat. I think they stole this guy. Looking at clips of Precious Achiuwa and his 1 year at Memphis where he averaged a double-double, relentless pursuit on the inside of rebounds, blocking shots, and can score also, Luby. And let's face it, the guy is a freshman, or was a freshman, a one-and-doner at Memphis, and comes out here to the Miami Heat, I think kind of fell into their lap, Luby. I know you like to use that kind of cliche around draft day. If you can get a guy who could be a guy who could fall into your lap as a guy, I think that's what happened here. You're looking at Bam Adebayo, too. I don't want to get overly excited about it because Bam Adebayo obviously blossomed into an all-star, and Well, was just a brilliant player for the Miami Heat this year until injured late in the postseason. But this precious Achiuwa could be something. I really believe that, that was a hell of a pick, a great find for the Heat at number 20. I didn't think they would do that well in a draft that was supposed to be relatively thin to begin with on star power. I think they ended up with a real good pick, Luby.
They need size. Like that's Hubie the one thing. Like Bam is really turned into a force, but they don't have off the bench. Now with Myers Leonard gone, Olenek doesn't play like a big. They need an athletic big, and that's exactly what he is.
Very athletic big guy. I mean, I think you're going to love this kid, and he fits everything about the so-called Heat culture. He's one of these guys, all of his statements that he made after being drafted, very humbly saying, I work as hard as I possibly can at every practice. Jimmy Butler is going to love this kid. He may even adopt him. Precious Achiuwa. It's a weird first name, let's face it. Precious. You usually figure maybe if you see it, it's going to be on a female, but I guess fairly common. He's a native Nigerian. And so the Miami Heat at the number 20 pick, Riley does it again, I think. Riley and now his team. I guess we've come to that understanding that it's more of a team effort in drafting players. But, wow, this guy I think really fits the mold. So we'll see, Luby. I'm glad that you don't like the pick.
You're trying to do that. I didn't say that. I actually have no anything. I had no expectations for this draft. I didn't really hear. After pick 10 or 11, because it was an FSU guy, I never heard of any of the guys. So it didn't matter to me either way.
How about your FSU guy that went number 4? That's largely being panned.
Well, he was
talking about Patrick
Williams.
He
went probably
FSU.
Like 4. He should have been anywhere from 8 to 15. Going 4 was a little high for him, but I mean, the guy is super talent and he's like 19, so he's probably going to grow another inch or two.
Obi Toppin goes to the Knicks at number 8. A lot of people very excited about that. The Knicks are known to blunder and just completely waste draft picks year after year after year, and especially when picking around that spot. Anybody remember them taking Frank Nicolatina out of France? Unbelievable. Turned out to be a stiff. I told Mike Nyman that the first time I saw him play. I was like, this guy's got no offensive game. He can't be a point guard in this league with zero offensive ability and at least a reluctance to show it. And sure enough, he hasn't amounted to much. But this Obi Toppin is supposed to be very exciting. So the fans in New York might have something to cheer about once they get back into the building. Cole Anthony, a lot of speculation about Cole Anthony going back to last year, that he might be the number one pick. Of course, the son of Greg Anthony, who we got to meet and know a little bit through the Duke and the lovely and talented one. And Cole Anthony didn't look so sharp in his first year and only year at North Carolina. His stock fell, but nonetheless taken by the Orlando Magic at number 15. And could be one of those guys that blossoms as a pro. Maybe he just had like one off year in North Carolina, big transition. Obviously, it's an even bigger transition to the pros, but this might be where his game fits even better than it does collegiately. So we'll see if that turns out to be a good pick. We're certainly rooting for Cole Anthony, the son of Greg Anthony, to have a nice, prosperous, and long NBA career. Well, I guess it's going to be prosperous just because he was a first-round selection. How much money do these cats make coming into the league, Luby? Is it an automatic like 10, 15 million like it is in the NFL? I don't believe that's the case. So what is a rookie first-round pick worth in the NBA?
Yeah, I thought it had been knocked down a lot. I don't know what anyone else made, but they did say Anthony Edwards was getting like a 4-year, $40 million contract, $20 million guaranteed. So if you're the first pick, you do get a lot. I don't know what the other guys get. I thought it was knocked down to like almost pennies, but I guess not. I guess it's come up a lot in the last few years.
Bam Adebayo, who was, what, the 14th pick, something like that?
Yes.
In the draft in 2017, is scheduled to make, so that's 17, 18, 18, 19, 19, 20, 3 years already in the league. So this will be his fourth year. He's scheduled to make $3 million this year.
Well, and he's up for an extension. That's what they're debating, if they do it now or they do it next year after they get someone, because they have his bird right. So if they sign him after they get someone else, they can still give him a big deal, exceed the cap, and it's not a big deal. But by then, you may have made him disgruntled. So that's actually the only big thing this offseason is hoping that Bam's willing to sit down with them and talk, and they can work together to get him the deal he wants in the right time so they can get another piece next year and really get that super team together.
Holy Andy Ellisberg, man. Yeah, you know the
Well, the Bam's the only thing
nuances.
I know. The rest of it I don't know. The Myers-Leonards and the Olynyk's opting in and the Dragic's.
You know the bizarre parentheticals of NBA contractual and the salary cap.
Bam's the only one I paid attention to because I don't want to lose him. Like, I actually do think he's a guy that... Is a
you can't imagine him losing this guy. Pat Riley over his dead body would happen. And he's still got many years left. We're happy to report. At least I believe that to be true. All right, the NBA draft, it wasn't overwhelmingly exciting last night. Kind of missed something. The young lady who was doing the interviews, I thought, did a really good job.
Malika Andrews.
Journey route. Yeah. She was very good. I thought she did a much better job than the usual gushing that takes place when these guys come off the stage. And especially handled very well, considering it was very awkward that she was standing in a studio while these other guys were all over the country on various forms of Zoomology. So, no, very well done. The presentation was nice. Adam Silver, he never mentioned China, did he? Not one time. Did I win that bet?
No.
Hey, Lou, get those sneakers on the truck. This is going to end. You imagine? No mentions of sneakers whatsoever. So it seemed to be very well conducted. I enjoyed some of the banter. I even could handle a little Jay Billis on that because I didn't know that much about all of these individual players, and we didn't get to see them in the tournament. Like you said, most people don't pay a lot of attention to college basketball, especially here. It's like a 0.0 rating, college basketball. And we hate to say that because we love Jim Larrañaga and the University of Miami basketball team. And, of course, Jim Larrañaga is going to join us later on today. Who better to talk to about some of these kids and what they bring to the table than the great Jim Larrañaga, who was featured prominently as the Canes basketball team was kind of, you timed us just right, Luby, because you made the call down there to see if Jim Larrañaga could come on and provide some analysis for us on an area that, let's face it, not everybody is an expert in, but this guy is. And give us a little illumination on who some of these players are. Nobody better to do it than Jim Larrañaga. And for some reason, the Hurricanes basketball program was featured very prominently on the news last night. Did you notice that, Luby? They were talking about getting their season underway and how they've had to follow COVID-19 protocols and how difficult that's made it. We talked with Jim about that before, right, during the offseason. And, of course, during the whole time that we were trying to fill endless hours of radio without a single sporting event taking place. And it was always great having Jim on the show. He talked to us about the Michael Jordan thing and, of course, many other things that were going on in basketball. And, yeah, I mean, very much featured last night on the news, if you noticed that, Libby. I don't know, you watch any of the TV news?
No, I do not, but I get it from
you. Did you do anything last night? What were you doing?
I watched the draft until about the 11th pick, and then I went to sleep. I wanted to see. Patrick Williams, I thought, was going to go in the 10 to 15 range. So I was like off and on watching it and going around to other things. And then I was all right, it's the fifth pick. Let me tune in after they did the fifth pick. And I was like, where's Patrick Williams? I'm like, why are they not even, you know, the best players available? And then it was like, Patrick Williams drafted fourth. I'm like, fourth?
Yeah.
Like, when did he go fourth? I'm like, okay.
Chicago Bulls determined to sabotage any chance they have of being a good team in the future. No, we don't know. We don't know how any of these guys are going to react. I mean, it's almost impossible to tell. Not always. I mean, sometimes you look at a guy and you just think he's badly overrated and opinions of him are highly inflated. And you see that from time to time. I thought R.J. Barrett was in that category last year. R.J. Barrett. I wasn't a huge R.J. Barrett fan.
And he was sort of
From his play with Duke, and they had that big three going at Duke with Zion. I thought R.J. Barrett was okay, but I didn't know that he was like, what did he go, number three overall for the Knicks last year?
Well, coming out of high school, he was higher rated than Zion coming out of high school.
Didn't look great to me when he was that Duke team. And he's on a great team. I mean, you're playing on a team with Zion freaking Williamson, for God's sake. Plus, who was the other guy that went like number 10 last year? Was part of that big three at Duke? You had R.J. Barrett, you had Zion Williamson, and there was one other guy that got a lot of attention that was supposed to make Duke a world beater and a cinch to win the national championship. I believe he went 10th in the NBA draft, and I'm not sure how well he did as a pro. I want to say better than expected, but nothing great. Who was that third guy, Louie? Do you know? That's going to bug me now until come back.
Oh, the one that's on the Hawks. I can't remember his name, but he was the three-point shooter kid that's on the
there
Hawks. That was drafted, I think, 10th in that draft.
Completely forgettable draft there. And a lot of people, that people complained that there were, no people that were worthy of being like a clear-cut number one in this draft, but there might have been many good players. I want to say yes all the way down to number 20. Well, we get Precious Achiuwa, who I think is going to be very good in the NBA.
They're talking highly of him. I like the clips. I don't know what to do with highlights because it's rare you see a bad highlight. Everyone looks like
Michael
Jordan.
You don't see a guy
Jordan.
Dribbling one off his knee like Pearl Washington. So, which he didn't do in college when he was dominating players of a lesser caliber.
So I don't know what to do with the highlights, but it's more like what people say about the highlights and what you, the attributes you see. And he's a big, strong, athletic dude. He looks like a taller Bam Adebayo, which
I thought he looked great.
Would be interesting. That's the one thing when it got to the Lakers, it was like, oh, okay, so height, it does matter still in the NBA. Like, they do need some size off the bench that can also run because this team's going to run. Goran Dragic is supposed to come back, Crowder. They're going to keep running. They're going to run more, not less. So they need bigs that can run. This kid looks all of that. So I'm actually excited about the
pick. He can motor up and down the court, man. He's one of those guys, the Energizer Bunny type.
Well, and that's what's good about Spoelstra. I know we got to go early, but Spoelstra's really good at making these young kids fit. So I'm curious what he does with them.
All right, Louis Brown, ladies and gentlemen.
There you go.
And you complain about me in the format. Jim Harbaugh to the Jets. What do you think?
Oh,
Jim Harbaugh to the Jets. That's
that
a lot
real?
Of speculation. No, I mean, think about it. It's not going well at Michigan. Jets need a coach. Harbaugh was great in the pros when he was with San Francisco. Maybe he just says, you know what, this college thing isn't really for me. It's possible. And this Mike Tyson, Roy Jones Jr. fight is really going to take place.
Yes.
Have you seen pictures of Tyson recently? I know we had the videos out about, 6 months ago, where he literally was hitting this stuffing out of the heavy bag. And that's not easy to do unless you're in some really old gym, like the Main Street gym in Los Angeles, or maybe the old Fifth Street gym here, right? You think Chris Dundee was going to shell out money for more? It's always great to see the heavy bag with electrical tape on it.
Oh,
you know
geez.
That's holding the stuffing in. And that's what Tyson is doing, like new bags. I mean, they put a new bag on the hook, and Tyson just destroys it. It looks like Georgie Animal Steel had eaten the stuffing out of the thing. And now ripped. I mean, a body that is bodied by Jake, my friend, just ripped. How is Roy Jones Jr., who was never really a heavyweight?
No.
I mean, Roy Jones Jr. was a great light heavyweight fighter. The only reason that we can't totally validate his greatness was because he didn't really have that much competition at his level in the light heavyweight division until very late. And then he started to get knocked around a little bit by our man Glenn Johnson, of course, and before that by Antonio Tarver. So Jones has no business standing in the ring at any age with Mike Tyson, especially if Tyson is in shape. This is, and they're making all kinds of restrictions to try and save Jones' life here. I'm serious. No, they're going to, I don't know who's sanctioning this bout. Is this taking place in Las Vegas?
Oh, that's a good question.
Because that would be maybe one of the few commissions you could get to even address this and not just say, you know what, it's not happening here, not in our state, not in our ring. But they're making it two-minute rounds like a female boxing match. Two-minute rounds. This has to be in an effort to save Roy Jones Jr., does it not?
Yes.
I mean, they're not doing this for Tyson's benefit, are they?
No.
No way, right? What else? There's no headgear, I don't think, in this thing.
No.
I would think Jones would be allowed to wear a football helmet. He should have like a Dallas Cowboys helmet. Or maybe he could get Smoke Gaynor to take on Tyson instead. That was his buddy who used to put all on the undercards of all of his fights, and he had to sit through another boring, bad decision going Smoke Gaynor's favor after 10 rounds of just unadulterated weak boxing, and you're asking yourself, wow, he must really be some good friend, Roy Jones, to put this guy on the card. All right, back with more in a moment. Scoop Skolnick, our instant replay, very informative basketball conversation with Scoop. Later on, Dave Hyde, Tony Segreto goes old school with us, brought to you by Catholic Health Services and Texas Roadhouse. The great Iron Eagle later on, and Jim Larrañaga. Back with more in a moment. I'm Jeff DeForest. He's a Mike Luby Lubitz. A little crabby there about the Heat draft pick, but all of a sudden it sounds like you're waking up to the fact that it's probably a good idea. Back with more in a moment. Now that.
The time.
At 6'9", out of Memphis, he can run the floor all day long. Precious Achiuwa. It's 6:23.
Now you can fly anywhere in the world and pay discount prices on your airline tickets. Book a flight today to London, Paris, Madrid, or anywhere else you want to go. And pay a lot less guaranteed. Call the International Travel Department right now at Low Cost Airlines.
800-754-4531. 800-754-4531.
That's 800-754-4531.
Hi, Jeff DeForest here for the great people at Deal Volkswagen, where the savings are bountiful this month. Let's talk some turkey here. If you've been looking for that special used...
Go to 940wins.com/rules.
Let's pick up Linda. We love Linda.
I'm alive and well, and I called for several reasons. A, to wish you congratulations on 10 years. I hope it's 10
Amazing.
Years more. B, to wish you a belated happy birthday, because your birthday is the day after my husband's, which is July the 4th. And
wow.
Every year I have to listen to how the country is celebrating his birthday. And after 37 years, it's not as charming as it was in the first year. And, you know, it, when you're young and in love, everything is charming. And then after,
yes.
you know, so many years.
Enjoy your trip to work with lots of laughs, thanks to Defo and Luby. Now on The Defo Show.
Beautiful morning unfolding here in South Florida. Great to be with you on 940 Winds, 1230 The Zone, and around the world on the iHeartRadio app. Jeff DeForest and Luby Brown, who has yet to reveal his two-round mock draft, which he has promised us that he is going to unfurl and unfold today on the program, but so far nothing, and hasn't even got past the first couple of picks in the first round. But we welcome to the show, and this is the Comeback Player of the Year. Newspapers folding up all over the place, very unfortunately. I'm a big fan of newspapers, and I love this guy's work when he was with various newspapers here in South Florida. But as that business was drying up, he creates his own. The Five Reasons Sports Network, really taken off, and an internet giant already. We welcome to the show the great Ethan Scoop Skolnick. Ethan, how are you, my friend?
Good. I'm waiting for Luby to go all the way up to 60 in the draft. So is he going to do that? He knows which international player the Spurs are going to stash at pick 56. Because that's always what they do.
Could it be a Mr. Irrelevant? Should there be a Mr. Irrelevant in the NBA, Scoop?
Yeah. I mean, it's not as many rounds, so it doesn't have quite the same feel. Even though the NFL doesn't even have the same feel. I mean, when it was 12 rounds in the NFL, and like
yeah.
the last guy in the 12th round was Mr. Irrelevant, you're really, really irrelevant at that point. But, you know, 7th round in the NFL, 2nd round in the NBA, I mean, you're still slightly relevant. So I don't know that you need it.
All right, let me ask you this, because this was the subject of today's Deal Volkswagen DeForest Files, and I do remember distinctly the great Steve Goldie Goldstein, of course, fine play-by-play announcer in the NHL, and now a huge news anchor. I mean, this guy's like Walter Cronkite. And he used to annually ask Pat Riley, at least once a season, hey, Pat, you know, you don't really seem to care too much about the draft. Draft picks don't mean that much to you. And Riley would then bristle and try to debunk that by saying, well, it depends on the rookie. So was there any validity to the idea? It did seem like a pattern. I have to give Goldie some credit for going ahead and pressing him on this, that he really didn't care that much about rookie players, that he was a guy that was always committed to veterans.
Yeah, I think that was true. I think if you look at his Heat tenure in particular, I mean, first, if you look at the Laker tenure when it started there, they didn't really need rookie players. I mean, he inherited a team that was pretty much full of Hall of Famers and was just add veterans. Then he went to New York, and he had Patrick Ewing, who had a limited time frame, and they wanted to try to create something there. And so he brought in, you know, more kind of, you know, street free agent types, John Starks, Anthony Mason, and molded them into something. And then kind of did the same thing here in Miami with the Ike Austins of the world, the Bruce Bowens, the Anthony Carters. He didn't really feel he needed the draft picks. Pat has always preferred to have the guy who was a little bit more fully formed, kind of mid-20s, where he saw what he was already and saw kind of what his work ethic was and all that when he brought him in. Now, I do think that things have changed. And there's a few reasons for that. I think when you look at the Big Three era, they didn't have picks. I mean, they had to trade the picks those sign-and-trades to give LeBron and Bosch those extra years, which, as it turned out, LeBron didn't use and Bosch couldn't use, really. And so they ended up trading 4 first-round picks to Toronto and Cleveland combined, and as a result, I mean, the draft was an afterthought during the entire Big Three era. Really, all they did was trade up once to take Norris Cole when they could have just sat there and taken Jimmy Butler, and they passed on Draymond Green. They really didn't take it all that seriously. But then after LeBron left, they needed to rebuild, and I think a couple things have happened. One, you know, they've given bigger roles to people like Adam Simon inside their organization, who who are really good at the draft. And if you're good at the draft, him and Chet Kemmerer and some of their scouts, why not take advantage of it? The other thing is that Eric Spoelstra really believes in this developmental culture. And when you have a developmental culture, you feel you can take a draft pick and you can make him into something easier than maybe you could have back in the days where it was just about Zoe and Timmy or LeBron, and you were just trying to win at that moment. Now, they're trying to win at this moment, and so this draft may be a little different. But over the past few years, they've done a really good job. The other thing is they've identified coaches that they trust, and John Calipari is one of them. And they basically took Bam Adebayo and Tyler Hero a lot earlier than either player was projected. And they have one all-star, and someday they might have a second. So I think that Pat has come to like the draft a little bit more, but it does not necessarily mean that he's going to keep the pick that he makes tonight, if he makes it.
The great Ethan Scoop Skolnick, Five Reasons Sports Network, and his guys will be all over the NBA draft. How much interest, you have your finger on the pulse of this, how much interest is there among Heat fans, among your followers at Five Reasons, in this upcoming NBA draft? Or is there the common wisdom out there that, well, the Heat are going to sign a free agent? They probably have a dartboard of Riley up there in the offices of the Milwaukee Bucks as they try to do anything in their power to appease the Greek. And realizing that all Riley has to do is plant a palm tree in this man's backyard and it's over. He's coming to Miami. So what is the stimulation out there? What is the vibe that you're getting about the draft and the Heat offseason from the fans that are followers of your Five Reasons Sports Network?
Well, the Heat offseason, there's huge interest. The draft has not. I think that, I mean, there were really three elements to this, right? And they all came together this week. We've never seen anything like this where it's all in the same week. I mean, you open draft season on Monday. You have the draft on Wednesday. Trade season on Monday. You open the draft on Wednesday. You open free agency on Friday. There's huge interest in what opened on Monday and what's going to open on Friday. I don't know that there's as much interest in tonight. And I think there are a few reasons. For that one I mentioned, the Heat, you know, have young players. They don't really need another one. In fact, Kaze Akpala was kind of like the first-round pick last year who we didn't see. They traded three picks to move up and take him in the second round, and they would have taken him in the first round if Tyler Hero was gone. So they view him like a first-round pick, and we really haven't seen a lot of him. I mean, I know a lot about him. I've talked to a lot of people about him, but we haven't seen him except for a couple of different games, and he was supposed to get some run in the bubble, and then he got hurt. So I don't really think that from a Heat perspective there's as much interest in this draft. And the other part of this is that, you know, usually, Defoe, I don't know about you, and I know you follow college basketball. I follow it, but when the NBA season is going on, I don't really pay a lot of attention to college basketball until the tournaments. And by that, I mean the conference tournaments and then, you know, especially the NCAA tournament. We didn't have those things this year. So I don't – I'll just be totally straight. I haven't seen a lot of these guys, okay, especially the one-year players. I mean, forget the international players. I never saw, but – the one-year players, and so if I haven't seen them, I can bet you that the casual Heat fan hasn't seen them, right? So, I mean, everybody knows who Vernon – I mean, most people know who Vernon Carey Jr. is, mostly because of his dad, right? And so there's association there. And that is a player I can tell you that the Heat like a lot. And they've – you know, I've even heard – and I don't know if this is totally true. I've heard they made a promise to him that if he's there 20, they'll take him. It doesn't mean they'll keep him, you know, because they kind of have to make the pick – based on league rules, but they don't have to keep the pick. And so, I don't really think that there's enormous interest here, because I don't think if you ask most Heat fans, they could name more than three or four players in this entire draft. I just think it's a different year with COVID and with no tournament.
Coming to you from the off-leash only studios, Defoe's at the Barefoot Beach Villas Verbal Laboratory. Tonight is the NBA draft. Free agency kicks off Friday. They started the trade market Monday. We're talking with the one and only Ethan Skolnick, Mr. Five Reasons Sports. Follow him up on Twitter. He is great with all things sports, but specifically the NBA and the Miami Heat, at Ethan J. Skolnick. All right, Scoop, Defoe brought up Giannis. You talked about where the Heat fans' attention is. It's funny, there's a lot of moves being made, but when it comes to reality, and I've seen Ira put out something, does this change the Heat's attention? Are they now turning it to be? I think it's the opposite. I think that move that the Bucks made put more pressure on them without making them that much better. Like, now they've pulled their last card. It's finals or bust, and if they don't make the finals, they have no more moves. They've literally proven, to be honest, we can't win. It sort of, to me, it was a win-win for the Miami Heat, what's happened this week.
Yeah, it all depends on the extension, right?
Yeah.
So, I mean, if they don't have a commitment from him on the extension, and I don't know that they do. Most people who are reporting them think they do, but don't know they do. Nobody has reported that they have a commitment from him on the extension. And so I have said for a year now that this reminds me of LeBron 2.0 from the first time he was in Cleveland. And that last year, everybody knew that the Cavs were on the clock, right? They had to bring in somebody to help him. They tried to make a move for Stoudemire. LeBron tried to get Bosch to come to Cleveland. Neither of those things worked. And then they emptied the clip for Antoine Jameson, remember?
Yep.
And basically now it's almost like a good player, but not a superstar. And it feels to me, and it's certainly not at that stage, and it feels to me like the Bucks have just done the same thing. On the surface, they look like okay trades, particularly the Bogdanovich side of it. I like that part of it. And I love Drew Holiday, and I wanted the Heat to make a run at him, but 3 first-round picks and 2 pick swaps is insane, okay? And it's not only that, they also gave up depth in those deals because everybody said, okay, well, they brought in Bogdanovich, and well, they gave up George Hill, who did not play well in the playoffs, but he ran their second unit the whole year. They gave up DiVincenzo, who I thought was a nice young player. I mean, not going to be a star, but was a good rotation player. And they're probably going to lose Wes Matthews, and Marvin Williams retired. So you're talking about a lot of – and Robin Lopez has opted out. So you're talking about a lot of their depth is gone. So unless they have a plan to replace all that depth, I don't even know that they're significantly better. And plus, look, Bledsoe was trash against the Heat, but he was also a point guard of a team that won 80% of its games in the regular season. And so they lost a lot of players. And so if they don't have a commitment from him, you're right. The pressure has been spiked on the Bucks to win now, or he's gone. And so we'll see. I mean, that's the next shoe to drop. And I don't know that they have a commitment from him. I really don't. I think if they had one, we would have heard about it already, and we have not.
Wish you had a little detail in those answers. No, brilliant. Fantastic stuff. We have Ethan Skolnick with us, and you can tell that his website and all of the podcasts, great stuff he put together, 5 Reasons Sports Network. All right, one more thing, because it's interesting. I mean, there's so much Michigan speculation about NBA offseason deals, and you have guys that say they don't want to be in certain places, and that is certainly being spotlighted by the Houston Rockets. James Harden wants to go become part of a big three, supposedly with the Brooklyn Nets. That's the word. Gets offered $103 million for 2 years and turns his nose up at it. Westbrook also was supposedly a source of great trade speculation. They were going to get rid of him, supposedly, I guess, regardless of this Harden stuff, which popped up later. And I remember, Ethan, I was going to some marriage counseling in a relationship that had been a disaster from the start. And, you know, there was an older woman there, and she had kind of, you know, the furniture wasn't exactly up to date. And we finish our thing. We're going to be in a bigger argument in the car ride on the way home. And I'm thinking, this poor woman has to try and patch this relationship up. It's impossible. How are the Rockets claiming that they don't care that basically these guys are essentially spitting on these contracts and, you know, the idea of staying with the Rockets? And they're saying, they're claiming, I mean, how unbelievable is it that they want to keep this thing together like they were the Captain and Tennille or something?
Love yeah, it is together. Crazy. Yeah. No, you're right. Here's I think, where this is coming from. The owner is a problem. And whenever you have an owner who's a problem, as we've seen here in South Florida, Jeffrey Luria, others, then really nothing of substance ever gets done. And the owner is a big issue here. He does not want to move Harden. That's what I've heard. So his inclination, and he doesn't want to trade Harden to certain teams. And so what I've heard is that he wants to try to make this work and placate Harden, but the relationship between Harden and Westbrook does not appear to be healthy. Other players, they've already dumped Robert Covington, who was an important part of that team, for 2 picks. PJ Tucker wants out. So it is collapsing around them. I think ultimately he's going to have to trade him. But what I was told by somebody pretty high up in the league, they said, listen, if Harden wants out of Houston, because the owner wants to keep him so badly, he's going to have to out Jimmy. What Jimmy did in Minnesota with that whole stunt with taking the third stringers and beating Towns and Wiggins in practice and making it clear, like, he's going to have to out Jimmy. And I don't know that he's going to do that. I still think he gets traded. I still think it's Brooklyn. If it's Brooklyn, I'll say this. You know, they'll get a good package of players back, and I'm a little curious to see how the Nets reload. I don't think it's going to be Philly. I will say the other team that's been mentioned on Harden's list, or we've reported it, but the national media hasn't caught up yet to us, is the Heat. He has an interest in the Heat. But I don't know, and if you don't think Riley would get involved in that, you haven't followed Riley. But I don't know, you know, the question is, are you trading Tyler Hero because you would have to? Are you trading Duncan Robinson because you would have to? Are you trading, you know, it's going to be a big package. I think Harden ends up with the Nets, but I think the owner is going to fight tooth and nail here to try to convince James to stay.
Jonas, and Luby has one more thing for you.
Well, I just wanted to ask
mind,
off of that. Like, does that.
This Tillman Fertitta thing, though,
exactly,
Luby.
Exactly.
We had an interview with the guy. It was like hostile from the first question, Ethan. Have you ever experienced that with somebody that you were talking to over the years? And, like,
yeah,
I try to make a joke, try to kind of lighten things up. We're trying to help the guy sell a book that nobody wants to read. And we're figuring we're only taking him because he's the owner of a professional sports team. What an a-hole. You couldn't think anything else but. Is that
your
impression?
I think that's what the players think, actually, and I think that's where we – I mean, look, there are certain teams, like – I mean, the Suns are finally getting it together, but they have a bad owner, right? Like, Robert Sarver's a bad owner, and when you have – and look, I mean, the Knicks, right? I mean, when you have a bad owner, I mean, the only chance you have is if the guy happened to be born 30 minutes away from you and feels guilt because he wants to win the championship in your town, and that's what happened with Dan Gilbert. And that's it. I mean, if you have a bad owner, it's very, very difficult to win. Ends.
What kind of question is that?
What kind of a question is that?
How could you ask me a question like that?
Answer my question! The question, jerk!
Today's HireJared.com trivia challenge question is, after Wade was taken, and with LeBron James, Chris Bosh, and Carmelo Anthony already gone, who was the sixth player chosen in that talent-laden 2003 draft? Was it Chris Kaman, Kirk Heinrich, T.J. Ford, or Nick Collison? That answer in a moment. For Jared Spingard, your injury is not just business, it's personal. After suffering devastating injuries in a near-fatal car crash at 18 and dealing with unjust insurance companies in his own case, Jared decided to dedicate his life's work to help the injured. No law firm is better equipped to handle or understand your case than the law offices of Jared Spingard. If you're a victim of a car crash, pedestrian accident, slip and fall, spinal cord injury, wrongful death, or medical malpractice, log on to HireJared.com. That's HireJared.com. Or call 833-HIRE-JARED. And instead of getting hustled by your attorney, get the one firm that's going to hustle for you. Hire Jared has the resources, the record of success, and over 1,000 winning cases worth of experience. No injury is minor when it's yours. Call 24/7 for a no-obligation free evaluation of your case. You pay nothing unless you win. Don't let your case become just another number. Log on to HireJared.com or call 833-HIRE-JARED and see what a difference personalized service can make. Jared Spingarn has been in your shoes. It changed his life. Let the law offices of Jared Spingarn help change yours. With so much attention paid to the top five players taken in the 2003 draft, it would be easy to forget that Chris Kaman was the sixth player chosen that year. Heinrich, Ford, and Collison were all also taken in the top 10 of a very deep NBA draft. That's today's mini trivia challenge brought to you by the law offices of Jared Spingarn for all personal injury matters. And remember, if you don't win, you don't pay 1 cent. Log on to HireJared.com or call 833-HIRE-JARED, 833-447-3527.